Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to another episode of Acting Inspired with me, Lewis Goody. This is now the first interview of 2017 with a wonderful lady called Robin Stiegman. Robin is an actor, producer, creator, initiator, and general all-around badass lady. I met her through Guildhall. We were doing a workshop together. She's really cool. She's got a lot to say. She's really switched on. She's got a lot going on, and we talk about all of it. She's a really inspiring person, and I really enjoyed doing this interview. I think it was nice to be scared and jump back in the deep end, and I can't wait to hear what people think about it. So, without further ado, I give to you Robin Stiegman.
Take a trip on the canal if you want to have fun.
Hello, Robin.
Hey, Lewis, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm ill today.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
But hopefully the voice will come across as, you know, like, very thoughtful and a bit like that. I'll use the flu in my voice.
Totally, man. Go with it.
Yeah.
It sounds good to me.
At least there's no snot.
Yeah, no. That, you look great.
Thanks.
To, you know, for someone who's got flu, so.
Yeah, well, thanks.
So this is my first interview in a while, so I'm nervous as hell. And I do wish we had started it earlier, because we said some good stuff already.
Yeah.
And I hate sort of looking at my notes and reading stuff out from, you know, old thoughts. But first of all, just to give people an idea of who you are, could you tell me, so you're from Holland, right?
Yes, I've now got my pitch. I grew up in the Netherlands.
Yes.
I'm half Dutch, half Turkish.
Oh, wow.
And at 18, I spent a lot of time in Dublin to kind of get used to living in an English-speaking environment.
Oh,
and to
cool.
get my Dublin accent kind of, you know, sorted. And then I moved to London, still at 18. So I've lived here now 11 and a half years.
And you live here permanently?
I do, yeah. I've had quite a few years where I spent also a lot of time in the Netherlands for work, or for still being confused of where to settle. But I feel, especially because I've studied in London and because I stayed, that I was... Yesterday I said I feel like I was... London is a sort of very exciting, important godfather in my life. I was raised half by this important godfather, London. That's why I don't fully say anymore I am Dutch, even though I'm definitely not English.
Yeah.
But I'm also not, you know, there's I think for people who've emigrated or gone to a new language, a new country, they understand that you're always a little bit halfway there, halfway here.
Yeah.
But I like it. I feel quite wealthy in that sense.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know, because I'm from here, but you know, it's... feels interesting to me. It's certainly interesting as someone to meet.
It has its advantages, and it has its, you know, accent-wise, it's always a struggle. But
I'm always blown away by Dutch people's English accents.
Yeah, that's what they always say. I'm like, I worked so hard on it, but over the years, I know my accent is... I don't know what my accent is, but there's something. But when I graduated, I was proud that people couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
But it's gone, and I think this is also what I was saying yesterday. I think it's because I don't think if you want to have a perfect English accent, you also have to change something in yourself, because an accent is not just sounds, it's also behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I'm still too stuck to whatever it was that I brought with me, and I'm not. So I feel I'm not... there's not that much difference between when I'm speaking English or when I'm speaking Dutch in my persona.
Right.
And the people I know who have a perfect English accent, and I also know they're Dutch, I feel like there's just I'm not saying they're not themselves anymore, but there's just a change.
Just a an adjustment to the environment.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I think so. And I don't think I have... So my the consequence of that is that my accent is not pretty perfect, but I think I'm starting to make peace with it.
That's cool. But I think that's cool as well. Although, I mean, if you're trying to work here, I guess, as an actor, maybe it's a different...
pretty shit.
Yeah, I guess.
But I like it.
Well, thanks.
I'm obsessed with the Netherlands.
Really?
Yeah, I love it, man.
Because of the boats.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I've only really been to Amsterdam through I've been through Rotterdam, and for reasons I won't disclose, I've been in some of the little suburby areas. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, that's fine.
So did you come to London to go to Guildhall? Or?
Yeah, to audition.
Yeah.
So I was here just living it up as a young person, waitressing and auditioning at the same time. And I was also auditioning in Amsterdam, which I was also accepted, which was fantastic.
Amazing.
But then it was Amsterdam or Guildhall, and yeah.
Guildhall.
Yeah.
What made you choose Guildhall? Being here, maybe?
I think I always said more opportunities, more risks. A certain naive, ambitious point of view. I just thought, you know, if this is a connection to Hugh McGregor, so this is gold.
Yeah, totally.
That's
yeah.
basically it.
Yeah. yeah, it's true.
So if I can go to a school that, you know, is connected to these, you know, not just Hugh McGregor, he was very important to me at the time. then nothing will stand in my way, obviously. And I had a little bit of a mini breakdown when I rang the school to get the results. Just like, wow, you know, I'm not crazy. Like, there are people out there who probably know a lot of great, you know, who definitely know a lot of great performers, and they believe I can be one of them.
Yeah.
So, with all due respect to Amsterdam and its drama school, which is also great, but this was, you know, this is the whole world.
Yeah.
And mind, you know, stressing being very naive, which helped me a great deal, because I also wasn't worrying about financial issues, and I was lucky. I was the last one that was tuition fees were funded by the European Union.
Oh wow!
So I was very, very lucky. But if I'd researched it in advance, I probably would have been worried and probably not have auditioned. So
thank God you didn't.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
Well, that's cool. And how did you find Guildhall?
I thought it was fantastic, but I, again, coming from, it's this constant feeling of feeling accepted in an establishment that I respected in a different culture and language that I very much respected and wanted to be part of. So it was just absolutely ace, and it brought great things out of me. At the time, I think you can definitely say then the years after, and there's this cliche of like, oh, you're now too aware of everything you do, you know, your technique is almost too, I don't know, like there's less freedom because you've been kind of drilled in a certain awareness.
Yeah.
But the time itself out there was magical for me personally.
Yeah.
And also specifically because of the people that you meet. And still, this is 8 years after graduating. There's that's how we know each other. There's a weird family feeling going on.
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, and I forgot about that. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Was doing. What was it called? Rec Festival Theatre, or it was going to be called that.
Yeah, we did the workshop.
Yeah, and we worked on Titus Andronicus.
Yeah.
And that was amazing, and meeting that for me as well was amazing, because I've met some people from different year groups and things through working on the, you know, auditions at Guildhall, just sort of stewarding and taking people in. And that's always amazing to meet people who, you know, you had no idea, but you can always, there is like a weird connection with these people automatically.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
So when I met you and all the other people on that thing, Maya was there as well. And,
Lorraine, Liam.
Yeah, yeah. A whole bunch of people who I had no idea existed, but we all had that strong thing in common that, you know, I'm sure on the lunchtime of the first day we were all sat together.
Yeah,
talking nonsense.
As if you're in the same year almost, and still also, older generations or newer generations, it's straight away like you just have a common language and an understanding or like an enthusiasm towards each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was a really good time for me, and I'm sure everyone else who was involved in it as well.
Mm.
So, when you graduated from Guildhall. We were sort of talking before we started recording about the the naivety in a way, and the thing that we all, I think most of us have when we're at drama school, you're in this amazing world being, you know, surrounded by these people who, like you say, have these connections with all these amazing actors. And you automatically assume in some way that you're just going to soar.
Yeah.
Straight from leaving the Guildhall canon, you're just going to keep going up and up and up. And I don't want to put a downer on it at all in any way, but if you don't mind, like, what was your experience leaving?
Well, I think at that point, naivety was replaced by arrogance.
Yeah, sure.
And so it was my whole world crashed because nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I don't like saying it was also a difficult time, 2008 when we graduated, and the whole world collapsed, not just mine.
Yeah.
But, well, financially, and so people wanted to take less risks, and I made probably a few wrong choices, but, you know, are there wrong choices? Well, that's all part of it. But yeah, that was two years of complete and utter misery because it wasn't happening. And before that, I'd been quite lucky, and things were good. And now I think, looking back, it's all, I really want to believe it was very good for me.
Yeah.
It just keeps you grounded.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, yeah, get back there. Understand.
No, I think I totally think it is. And,
yeah,
you know, we need that to,
yeah,
in order to be able to progress and do other amazing things like,
yeah,
you have. I mean, I don't know a lot about the stuff you've been doing, but I constantly hear your name. Maybe it's just the people I hang around with or whatever, but, like, you know, you've always been this sort of mystery to me, and I'm such a lazy bastard that I don't go out and necessarily always come to these events. I just hear about them afterwards or while they're happening. I go, oh, that's amazing. And I'm crap at that, and I'm, you know,
no, you're
2017.
Fine.
But I just... When did you start doing...
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Like, what, you do so many of these things.
Yeah, well, there is a clear path, I think. What happened was, this is the long way around.
No, yeah, no.
I'll keep it short. They started an improvisation group during Guildhall to
is that
have fun.
Your year or like?
No, the people in different, also different years.
Oh, cool.
So it was a very good bunch. I think we had weekly meetings. Great. Then a group was existed from that, the Impresarios,
and I was lucky
enough to be part of that for a little bit, working with awesome people, and we had an awesome year of gigging in very random places, but absolutely fantastic. And yeah, that opened up my world towards, at some point we were with the Oubliette, we were in this, they squatted the Mexican embassy in Mayfair. So we had this humongous building where, you know, you just gig, oh, fine. And then, you know, we had a rooftop party session, and just glorious.
Yeah.
You know, you're with people that speak your language and that have the same creative understanding. You gig, you learn, and you get out there. So it's pretty ideal.
Is that while you're still at Guildhall?
No, this is all
so
after.
Yeah. Okay.
This is also, I think, after a year and a half of complete misery and, and waitressing in beautiful restaurants, but you know, the full-time waitress scenario is just not good for happiness, I think.
No,
with
it's
all
not
due
ideal.
This, it has to be done.
Yeah.
But yeah, just get out then, or find something outside of that.
Yeah.
And I did. And then through gigs, Mr. Jules Munns, he, with a few others, he set up a festival called the Nursery Festival, which they found a workshop studio place at the back of an arch by Union Street, by the Sherwood space. And that was 3 weeks of new improvised and devised theatre. And we gigged there with our improvisation group. And at the same time, because I was good friends and we kind of helped and living it up and just realizing, holy moly, this is it. Because it was a really difficult time, if it's not a difficult time still. But at that point, there was so many people who just wanted to put their work out and, you know, I'm not proud of it, but for free, because At that point, it was not as big yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But it created these three magical weeks. So I was in love with that and that idea of being involved with it. So I was asked to join the gang. And so we created a few more of those festivals. And out of that, we found another venue just down the road in another arch. And we rented that arch for then a few months every autumn. That's when the festival was. And then the people who ran that arch kind of wanted to stop, and they asked us, do you want to take over the arch? And we beautifully, naively and ambitiously said, yes, of course. and we did it, we made it, but it's a lot of rent, and we couldn't get a license and all these things, and we didn't have a guarantee of how many years we could stay there. But at the same time, the three of us, not actually full-time committing to this, because obviously it's always, well, acting will go first, and I have to also make money, and all of that. So I know now, if you want to go crazy on a project like that, you need full-time effort. And at the same time, I'm thankful that we were bold enough to just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's given me so many skills and contacts and love for getting people together and putting things up that are good and that need to be put up.
That's an amazing part of it, the connections that you've made and the sort of scope it gives you, I suppose, of the different things that are available and still within the field that you love and respect so much. Was there any point, or is there even any point now, where you go, do you separate acting and that kind of work, which I never know what to call that kind of work, your own stuff? Or...
Yeah, in this case it was programming, producing, running a festival.
So is there a point where you go, I've got to stop that for a minute? Or I suppose that's maybe part of the problem of...
Yeah, I don't know. At the moment it's not a problem anymore, because at the moment I know I can create certain things and put myself in it, or even if I want something for myself, I do that. And sometimes I'm very passionate just about a project that I don't have to be in.
Yeah.
But I often get involved performing. It becomes a little bit now that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm an actress as well, of course, but kind of only act in productions that I create myself. I don't know if it's allowed, but for now I'm okay. I'm okay with it, and I'm happy, and it brings out I don't want to say the best in me, but I've just over the years I've not had the greatest acting experiences for myself. So too.
In terms of four other people and
Obviously a few were fantastic, I have to, you know, definitely credit that. But it's just not been a straightforward la di da, this is fantastic. So then the fire and the love you feel when you facilitate and create with and for others. I just had to also come to peace with that's then really important. It's important what makes you happy, and I think that's very much what is a recurring topic in your podcast of like, I don't think I could never let go of acting because it's one of those loves that will just, you know, I'm sorry, I can't fully get married to something else because there will always be acting.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a really great way of putting it, actually. I've never been able to articulate it like that.
Yeah, and I've definitely tried, like, no, see, I'm much happier without it. Much happier.
And then someone goes,
ah,
fancy doing this.
Yeah. Or you see somebody doing something that is so them, and they either put it up themselves or they, you know, you're like, bah, no. That's what I want. Finding my own, and I'm not there yet. I'm definitely not there yet, but I'm getting closer and closer. And I think I've created a platform or a situation for myself that I could create that, but I have to kick myself butt a few times because I don't know, laziness, self doubt, whatever comes in regularly.
Oh, they come in hardcore.
Yeah. But I think it's part of it.
Totally.
I embrace it now. It's like okay, it's one of those days. Fine.
Yeah, man. It's
It'll
like
be done tomorrow.
It's the little fire under you that just keeps you going. I think those feelings.
Yeah, I sometimes want to believe it makes you an even greater being because you know the downsides and you know
Yeah.
You can you just know that side as well.
I can't wait for them to go away.
They won't.
I know. That's the trick.
They won't. I sorry, this is a bit of an off one, but I work with scientists. I was lucky enough to be asked to get involved with a specific work through the Netherlands, where I coach.
Is this Artesk?
It is.
Yeah.
Blimey, you did your homework.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Artesk, which stands for Artist for Education, Science, and Communication.
Yeah.
And it's a course called The Art of Presenting Science, and it's created by a doctor in physics who also is a composer and a storyteller, and understood that after his PhD, he was upset with how certain very, very, very technical scientific presentations were being given because everyone was falling asleep. And at the same time, what was being told was so utterly important to the world,
to the
world of science. So, you know, but if everyone's falling asleep, it's kind of a, you know, these are my words, but it you can see it as a waste of time.
Yeah.
Why are you there?
Well, yeah. It's
So the course uses tools from acting to help these people that want help with presenting, or I call it communicating in front of a larger scale audience. So it's not about making them an actor, it's just using the tools.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's such a wicked idea, because...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Is there a secret? Do you know what it is, or is it just...
You know. Oh no, the secret is just follow the course.
Yeah.
But sorry, my point was, yeah. I always, because they always say, yeah, but you know, yeah, it went well, I've improved, because it's a 3-day course spread over a month,
yeah.
So there's 2 weeks in between. But I was still nervous. And I say, yeah, but I don't really get it. Like, do you actually see that as a negative thing?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, well, you know, and I was shaking, and it's like, yeah, but that's not going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, might as well, in Guildhall terms, just cancel and continue.
Totally.
It's a free feeling of being alive. So I think this misery, I don't know, maybe it will go when you really, you know, just get busy with what you love. But the odd down day, well, you know.
Well, I think it's good as well. It's, I mean, in terms of nerves and stuff like that, it's reminds you that you're a living being. You're like there, and all these people are here, you know, to listen to you or listen to what you've got to say or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No.
Although, but we've been brought up in, I guess, for at least the time we were training.
Yeah, or before that, I think a performer knows that that's part of it.
Yeah. So how did you get into that? Because I wanted to talk to you about that anyway, because I was reading about it. It sounds really cool. But what was your, how did you stumble across that? Or?
Yeah, it's, I used to do acting in the Netherlands, and when I was 17, I was involved with a specific piece in the summer that we worked on, kind of with teenagers, and the writer of that piece, I kept in touch with her, and she was training with this company, and so she recommended me. So I'm like, you know,
so you're part of the team.
I'm part of the team. Yeah, 5 years now.
It's amazing.
Yeah, proudly part of the team.
That's such a cool thing to do, and nice one.
And this year, last year we started because I mainly did it in the Netherlands, this work. So I was there spread over a year for 3 months, but it could provide me with enough to kind of keep going and not having to waitress.
Yeah.
Which, again, there's nothing wrong with waitressing,
not
but
all,
I think every performer knows, or every person who wants to do something else knows, that full-time waitressing is tough.
Yeah.
Full stop. But then my colleague, or the person who set up the company, he's always had courses in London as well, but so we decided, let's try to make it bigger here, because then I don't have to travel back and forth.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm getting slowly enough work.
So you had the nursery.
Yes.
And everything. So you did that with the improv and the like festivals, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have to say, when I got more involved with the festival, I left the improvisation.
Right.
So then.
But I mean, still, you're going through your. Your path is just amazing to me. I mean, so far, you know, and I guess hearing it.
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, I feel embarrassed.
No, I feel embarrassed.
It seems really cool. Like, it's varied, and it's like, you seem to me to be like a what's that? Yeah, let's try it. I'll do it. Or you know, yeah. I'll see what that has to offer. And you seem to me to give a lot of yourself to these things, and I feel like it pays off, because you have always, since the first time I met you, you've always appeared to me to be quite a grounded and strong person. And I think that's probably due to being so, I don't know what the word is, up for it. What's the word for that?
Thank you, I guess. I think also I've learned a little bit about this, okay, let's do it, because I've, and the people who've worked with me on these specific projects know as well that I can look back now and think, sometimes it's good to just think things over a little bit.
Yeah.
Sort of the ripple effect of it. I used to have very much, as long as we're doing it, it's okay. And now I have very much everything that I do. I and this is because of a very important person in my life, we don't have to go into that, but who's taught me that, you know, you can see it as a sort of almost as an art piece in itself, so it becomes a little unit. And that, you know, in a few years I want to look back and just completely agree with everything that the whole unit was, and still be fully proud of that. So that's less like yeah, okay, let's do it, and more like, okay, hang on. And I'm not saying I'm fully there yet. I'm still learning and improving, but there's a little bit more.
Yeah.
I guess that comes with, well, for me it comes with growing up. It's a little bit less ADHD and more or impulsive, I should say.
Yeah.
And more what do I want to get from it, and how are we gonna create that? And then sometimes it's also more now of like, do you know what? I don't think the project is worth it, and there's plenty of ideas, but no, this one I'm going to let go of.
And that's a great thing to form as well, because
yeah.
You know, I'm still very guilty of just doing anyone asks, you know, to do anything, or if I see something and I don't really think about whether or not this is going to be useful for me, or you know, or any of those things. So it's something I'm still
learning with time, I think, or
yeah.
With just understanding and dare I say, branding.
What
which,
do you mean?
Which I'm far away from. I don't know, when people ask, so anyway, long story short, I left the nursery in 2014 to set up my own production company.
Yeah.
Because I felt still the love of creating what I wanted to do, but at the same time I felt the nursery was going into a direction where it should go into, because that's where its biggest strength was, but it wasn't fully me. So we parted ways with a lot of love, and I see them every day now because my office is on the same floor, and they're I have so much respect for what they do, but it's not me. So
yeah.
Then you have to just be honest to yourself with, you know, one another as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, but with well, I now have a production company, but asking like, so what work do you do? And I'm like, oh shit, you know, I should have like a really good answer to that. Or like a really good sentence. And now I just say anything I want.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it's often short. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's my unique selling point. Short performances.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what because again, like I told you before, I've been bad at getting out and seeing stuff for myself, but does this go back into the nursery if I bring up the caravan?
No, it doesn't.
What is this caravan?
Yeah, the caravan. I was asked, I think maybe after I left the nursery or during. I was asked to by Merge Festival, and by a mighty, mighty woman called Caroline Jones, who runs the Merge Festival. And I can't remember how we got to the caravan. I was asked to program. She has a caravan, and it was always outside Tate Modern for 3 weeks or so during Merge Festival. Merge Festival is a festival of music, performance and art in SE1, that's Bankside.
Yeah.
And it also focuses on unused buildings, or historical buildings preferably, and anywhere really. So I love it, and they have this caravan. So I programmed 3 weeks, 3 different pieces. And I did one of, that's my only piece I've ever written myself, and I performed that in the caravan. And to get that experience of people rocking up, either having booked their free slot or just walking past and being invited into the caravan,
yeah.
giving them 15 minutes of a story,
yeah.
and with a beginning, middle and end,
yeah.
you know, and an experience, and the intimacy and the... Well, I guess that's it. But anyway, and then they come out and they have it. And especially in this time, this world now with like limited time availability, I think that is utterly glorious.
Yeah,
it's live performance, which I think is, you know, that's the ultimate. Although I'm an extreme film lover, but you know, live, that's in this case it's magical, I think.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, how can we, and I was talking to them, how can we do that again, because I'd like to not wait another year for Merge Festival and just get through it. But there was a very practical challenge of how, if you don't get funding, how are you going to pay for it?
Yeah.
So then we thought, well, we need to get a bigger caravan, because if you have more seats, you can sell more tickets.
Yeah.
Or actually, we're going to sell tickets for the first time, because during Merge, it's always free. It's like, okay, let's get a new caravan. So I got an empty caravan in the Netherlands. And I have a phenomenal Dutch friend who's I have a Dutch friend who's a phenomenal artist, but she's also a phenomenal friend. So, called Rosa Sauben, and I included her, and I asked her for a caravan that seats up to 9 people, and she created this beauty of a mobile theatre, in
wow.
my opinion. And then we had a season at Borough Market for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Which, looking back, I've learned a lot from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did mean to come to that, because was that where was Liam
yeah,
there
Liam,
as well?
Yeah, there
yeah.
was the start of a collaboration with his t-shirts, which again I'm grateful for it that and it's it definitely had a ripple effect, because the caravan is still going.
Nice.
And we're going to be at Vault Festival in February.
Amazing. I'll ask you about that at the end.
Yeah.
Give that out to everyone.
But at the same time, I think 2017 might be the last year for the caravan.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and I'm so proud every time I can welcome people inside, and I see their response when they come out, and the people I get to work with or get to ask to you know, get involved and write or create it. That's again, it's kind of, I realised the other day, it's kind of similar to the Nursery Festival, obviously, because
yeah.
you approach and you ask and they do, and you're like, holy schmoly, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But now I've got my little mini, it's not an arch, but my mini little, I call it a mobile bumblebee of unexpectedness, which doesn't make sense, but
doesn't
you know,
matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's also a hassle, just
yeah.
just to be honest about it.
Well, yeah, because where
yeah,
do you put a caravan?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, I'm blessed with amazing help, but you can't always just
yeah.
rely on other people having great places where you can store it. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I need to find a new life for it.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to. So the caravan will be at the Vaults Festival.
Yeah, Vaults Festival is another great setup that I'm privileged to be working with.
Well, I mean, again, how did that come about? Is it just contacts?
No. This one is actually just contacting them, saying, "Got a caravan."
Yeah, great.
this is what we do. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what I mean with branding. Even though I know I don't like the word at all, but I do understand the importance of it.
Yeah.
And especially with this whole social media, which.
Yeah.
Like shenanigans, and I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, me neither.
And I wish at some point there's this like subculture that's like, do you know what? I was never good at this, and now I'm the cool guy.
Yeah,
now
yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
the cool woman. but I'm not sure. It works. It works.
Yeah.
If you're trying to sell, it works. But anyway.
Totally.
Yes, branding. So if you create this bubble of a project that is, you know, clear, then you have you can showcase it, and because that's why Borough Market, even though it was very challenging as a project, but it was a good start for many other things. So
yeah.
I approached Vault, and that's run by three awesome, awesome guys who just understand and have this similar excitement, or I recognize an excitement. They're very, very, very good at what they're doing, and I look up to them, and they were like, yeah. And I think anyone who understands that yeah is the right answer,
yeah.
I respect greatly. So yeah, that happened.
Amazing. It seems like a silly question to ask because I'm sat here opposite you, but for the sake of people who are listening to this, that's you're happy. You're like happy as hell, it appears.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
I don't really know what I'm getting at, I guess, but like,
it's possible.
Yeah. No.
No, I don't know. I take happiness quite seriously though.
Yeah.
So I aim to work on that, and I don't mean happiness in la-di-da. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, if you really want to get into it, I practice Nichiren Buddhism, which we chant. Namyoho Rengekyo, preferably in the morning and the evening.
Yeah.
I won't go, you know, but
no, do.
For anyone who's interested, it's and the happiness that through this Buddhism, through this practice, you're urged to take responsibility for your happiness. This is all in a nutshell. Huh?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
much more to it.
Sure.
But happiness, what I've learned through this practice is, you know, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a fine line of understanding that certain shit is good, you know, it needs to happen.
Yeah.
But you need to understand that you can transform it to something good.
Yeah, it's
and,
in your power.
And that's
power.
Very yeah, but it's also very confronting because you then realize, oh, why I create these obstacles or these walls out of fear or habit or, you know, your blueprint, how you were raised, or, you know, I've had my fair share of. Again, the arrogance of like, well, you know, I don't have an Oscar yet, so why bother, you know?
Yeah.
So through this practice, it has opened up for me that there's other stuff out there.
Yeah, no, totally. It is something I'm really interested in, actually, because I've just recently got into meditation myself, which is through a Buddhist center.
Mm.
I don't know a lot about it at this point in time. It was at the end of September that I started going, but it has just through the meditation side of it, meeting some people involved in it, it's in such a short period of time changed a lot of my outlook and you know, and just how I treat certain situations and how I note, register and deal with fear, or you know, or even extreme happiness, feeling of extreme happiness or extreme sadness, and, you know, noting that that's like a temporary thing, or, you know, any of these techniques, I guess you might call them, that you use to deal with these things. Like I say, I'm really new to it, but I've got a dude coming onto the podcast soon who is he leads these meditation sessions that
nice.
I go to sometimes, and he's got a really cool way of thinking about it. He's not strict. Kai, my girlfriend, and I'll talk about this at some point on the podcast anyway, so I'll keep it brief, but we went to a Zen, like a Japanese Buddhist Zen center the other night, and we did an overnight meditation from 9 o'clock in the evening till 7 a.m. And it was horrible. It sucks.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to work out whether or not I've gained something positive from it, and I'm sure I have. There is definitely something, but I can't remember why I told you. Oh, just getting into meditation, yeah. And
yeah.
So we're exploring that kind of stuff at the moment, and
nice.
So it is something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you have more to say, please do.
Well, yeah, I like the chanting. I don't actually see fully as meditation.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's very much about setting determinations,
yeah.
And I always feel it's active. But I have great respect, and also I understand the benefits of meditation, and I think the people that I know around me who do meditate, and I have my own way separately of meditation, but I think it's awesome for human beings.
Yeah, totally.
So definitely keep exploring.
Yeah, I will, yeah. And I am interested in Buddhism, and but it's just such a massive world, isn't it? There are strands, and like, you know, one minute I'm sat in a Sri Lankan Buddhist vihara and everyone's chilled and the monks are hilarious and they've got a really great sense of humour and they tell stories in a brilliant way, and then the next minute I'm in a Japanese Zen Buddhist centre for 9 hours being smacked on the back with a stick of compassion when I've been awake meditating for like 7 hours. So yeah, so
well, if you want, come to the centre in Brixton.
Dip my toes in all of them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, come chart.
That'd be cool.
anyway, back on track.
Back on track. So, the other thing that I had written down, I think, was Robin Lind Productions, which is your production company. Is that a new thing? Because I that is the one thing, I suppose, with the Artesque thing, was two things that I wasn't fully aware of. And I saw it went on your website and I could see that you were doing this film with Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe was another, and Sam. Yeah. And Sam Phillips, yeah, Jesus Christ, who I met doing the auditions at Guildhall. Both awesome people.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Well, I think if you just take a few steps back for me,
and we
discussed this before we pressed the record button.
Yeah, which is still going, isn't it? Yeah.
That's cool. What I've learned through the Nursery Festival and getting responsibility of looking after a set and performances, and suddenly seeing, hey, but then I could ask people, and then seeing great performances and then asking them. So what I'm getting at is the power of asking anyone, really, and realizing that 95% is interested and approachable.
Yeah.
And another really, really important and amazing learning process for me was at Bold Tendencies in Peckham. They have this is every summer they have an auditorium, and I had four evenings there to program, and we created the monologue series where about 10 monologues were written, and the question was write a monologue in response to a monologue in a Sophocles play of your choice.
Bloody
and to get 10 writers on board was well, for me, I mean, you know, now it's, I don't know when it's normal, but that was a great learning curve, because again, there were a lot of writers that I wanted to work with, but I didn't know. So you have to go either through agencies where you're like,
yeah.
I respect it, but I've been so far away from that industry for a long time. I just, you know, asked through, you know, connections. But it's good. It's a good practice.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what I'm getting at with this is the power of asking, or the magic of asking, and again, that it can happen. And four different directors, and I probably had something of around 10 different performers every night. There was four. So that teaches you how to get a crew together. And this film is written by Jodie Gray, who I saw a couple of years ago, and I saw a piece that she'd written through a friend who created a scratch night at the Salt Theatre, which was two phenomenal scratch nights. One of the pieces that stood out for me was Jodie's. So long story short, we after 2 years we could have the chat of, hey, can I make this into a short film, which is a very scary thing to do, and I'm very late as well on that, because a lot of people have done their short films, and it's a normal you know, way of being after you've graduated, you know, and make a short film.
Yeah.
Like, shit, mate, that's a lot of work. It's really difficult,
but
I think it's, I'm learning then, it's a magical, I think I say magical quite a lot, but it's a great mixture of a good script, and then getting the right people on board who, dare I say, have good connections, and that's how you can ask even more.
Yeah.
And to have Chloe Peary on board is
amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But in combination with Sam Phillips, who is it's really, really great to be working with him. And we're aiming for the end of February to have a screening. So
amazing.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know and I'll try and.
But I feel a little bit because
stuff.
Again, a short film is kind of, you know, it's a casual thing to do.
Yeah.
And this one has had quite a build-up, so I'm now shit.
No, no, it's cool. It's good, though.
7 minutes better be good.
Yeah. I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, because I see it as, you know, I saw that Chloe and Sam are involved, who are obviously both Guildhall people, so in my head, from the outside looking in, I was like, oh, so you've, like, got together with friends and stuff. But I suppose what I forget to realise is that you also have to, you know, it's not necessarily just for you three.
No.
You know, or whoever's involved. I only know those you three people. But you have to think about the connections that people have and the skill that they have as well and, you know, how certain people can be beneficial to a project rather than just, I'm going to do a thing with my friends, which I think is what I try and think about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And lack on the sort of how are we gonna get this out. I just want to do the fun bit.
I hear you.
But it's good, it's given me, you know, and hopefully everyone else, you know, something to think about. And
it's always a little bit of a question of right now I have to think about it instead of come on board. You just have to be, just know a certain ripple effect.
Yeah.
And sometimes it means that you can't necessarily work with your friends because there might be someone out there who's more suitable for, you know, this is also crew-wise and not.
Yeah.
But it feels a little bit like you're cheating on your excitement.
Yeah.
Your enthusiasm. And it feels like, oh, I'm now making that grown-up choice. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's. I feel it's time to. It's okay. I'll have to make those sacrifices. Oh, it's not even a sacrifice.
No.
It's just I have to get used to that awareness because I love what I do. I'm very happy, but I'm well aware that I'm still, you know, starting and quite. I'm only a certain. I only have a certain reach. I'd like to go bigger.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's my. That's my issues I have to sort out.
Yeah.
But you know, I just don't want to sound like, oh yeah, I've got it sorted, because it's got nothing to do with it. I'm doing just something like everyone else.
Yeah. So you know what's brilliant for me to hear you say then as well is that, like, you know, for someone who I graduated 5 years ago, I think 2011, it's great. I don't want this to sound insulting, but it's great to hear you say, you know, cause as someone I look up to, I'm just starting.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we put so much time pressure on things, comparing to other people, comparing to different careers, and judging ourselves based on what other people have done, which I suppose is even what I'm doing by going, oh, it's nice to hear you say you're still starting, but like. We're all on our own path. I mean, this is such basic and, you know, obvious stuff I'm saying, but yeah, it's easy to forget that we're all doing that we're doing us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing anyone else. So yeah, it's just nice to not have to lift off that pressure from ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And by hearing you say that, has certainly helped me realise that.
Yeah. And dare I say, the other side of the coin is to stay sharp.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I have the tendency to go, dom-ti-dom, it's all right, I've got a little project here. It's like, no, wait, let's get back to the core and dig deeper to what it is that I want to do. Because I think one creates and is in their best potential when they're closest to feeling what they can or want.
Yeah.
But it takes courage and it takes
courage, yeah.
Practicing like believing.
Yeah.
Oh god, this is so dramatic, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Right, so sorry for that. Yeah.
Amazing. So the just to go back one tiny step, the your production company came about from the film, or
no? I just started it straight when I left the nursery.
Oh, well,
I realized.
Sorry, I missed.
No, it's fine. I'm not sure if I said it. I thought I want to keep creating, and then there were a few projects coming up also with Merge Festival.
Yes.
So I thought I need to frame it,
yeah,
because otherwise, you know, you get to a point, there's actors who have websites, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm definitely a little bit of a chameleon in the sense that I've got a few things going on. So
I guess that's what you're talking about in terms of branding.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So frame it.
Yeah.
And at least, again, I don't have the perfect sentence yet of this is what we do. Although I'm all right with what it says on the website, finally.
Yeah. It's a great website.
Thank you.
It looks lovely.
Thank you. But so at least I can have that as something that I do, and I can refer back to it.
Yeah.
And then the acting, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And Artesque has its own website, and getting involved with another small business at the moment to just,
yeah,
you know, to just, why not?
Yeah. Well, keep me posted.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, so that's why I just started the company, and I thought, there you go, no way back. Again, I was influenced by a great person who was very good at that.
Yeah.
And I wish everyone a good mentor or person that they can communicate with. And,
yeah.
Through him as well, I started to understand more of the art world,
mm-hmm,
and I find that a little bit daunting to call myself an artist. I don't think that's part of the vocabulary, but an influence from an artist world, and seeing, learning from artists who create. I thought that's something that I've learned from, and I think we can learn from,
yeah,
as actors, because it's a different species altogether. But from a creator's perspective, you can create your own little piece.
I would say you are an artist.
No. I don't want to say that, but but I guess, thank you, but I just know quite a few great artists around me, and I wouldn't, I'm an initiator. I create projects.
Yeah.
But I, maybe it's also for the sake of that, I always want to work with other people. I'm not a unit on my own.
Yeah.
Maybe that's hiding behind something, I don't know.
You'll find out, I'm sure.
Yeah, find out. Maybe I'll try something fully on my own. But for now, I'm pretty excited about working with people.
Yeah, cool, man. And you just made me think then, when, you know, you have a mentor.
Yeah.
Or like someone who...
A good influence.
A good
very,
influence.
Very, very important influence, yeah.
How do you find that? Or is that something that you think maybe you were lucky enough to have... Just organically, or is it?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky enough
to
fall in love with.
Oh, right, okay, fine. Sorry.
Yep, that's it.
Right. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I won't go into it, but
no.
You know, I just feel, you know, if you everyone, I hope everyone has a strong influence in,
yeah,
their lives, and
I think,
and
that's important.
It is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has helped me a great deal. And,
yeah.
And he knows that. He knows what influence he has.
Amazing.
And yeah.
Cool. I used to do something like this. It's been so long since I've done an interview. What are we at? Right here, it's nearly an hour.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I used to do something like this at the end of every podcast, but I can't bloody remember. Do you have any advice for like young I can't pick a word. Actor, artist, creator.
Yeah, it's true.
Instigator.
Yeah.
You know, just anything. You've given a lot already, sort of.
Yeah, but it's also because you need to see it from a certain perspective. So when you just get out, and when you say young,
yes.
I've been saved by getting with people and doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just do it is a good slogan for a reason.
Yeah.
And then learn from it. Be open to learn from it. And okay, here's one. Sometimes also know that you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
I've been very dependent on having others around me.
Yeah.
And it's been good for me to sometimes do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then gather, but you know, having to be an ensemble where everyone is of course everyone's equal, but you know, or starting a collective or all that stuff, I think is great, but it's okay to be honest with yourself and understanding, do you know what, I might be more of a initiated leader on my own, and then learn from that.
Yeah.
And fall flat on your face and do it again 4 times at least. But just keep your eyes open and be okay with what you're feeling, and don't compare.
Never. Yeah, that's a big one. Amazing. Thank you so much, Robin.
You're welcome.
This is really exciting for me because you've been on my list forever and now I've done it, so
yeah,
thank you so
well,
much. And I will
hope it's something.
Yeah, no, totally. Oh my god, I feel like I've learned a lot just sitting here, so everyone else will, I'm sure. I'll take down everything that you're doing and all that,
yeah,
and the Vaults Fest as well, and it'd be good to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
The potential of,
yeah,
maybe
absolutely,
being around. Cool. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Robin Stegman. I thought she was awesome. I hope you did too. She really inspires me, and I can't wait to hopefully work with her again in the very near future on a bit of a podcast project where we're thinking about doing some podcasty interview things at the Vaults Festival. You can find Robin on social media at Robin Steeg, at RobinSteeg, and check out robinlindproductions.com and also artesk.org. Thank you so much for listening once again, ladies and gents. This is the beginning of 2017, and I think it's going pretty well so far. Let me know what you think. Lots of love. See you soon. Ciao.
'Twas a life gay and easy, whatever may come. Take a trip on the canal if you want to have fun.